What I have been doing these last few days is going through the material on the stele of Tanus's tomb, picking out all the quotations that I recognise from the classical books of mystery, the books of breathings, the book of the pylons, and the book of Thoth, and setting those on one side. She showed him 15 pages in her neat small script. All this is ancient material, none of it original compositions by Taita. I have discarded it for the time being. She set the first notebook aside and picked up the next. All this is from the fourth face of the stele. It's nothing that I recognise, but seems to be only long lists of numbers and figures. Some sort of code, perhaps? I'm not sure. But I do have some ideas on it that I'll come to later. Now, this here, she showed him the next book, this is all fresh material that I don't remember reading in any of the ancient classics. Much of it, if not all of it, must be original Taita writings. If he has left any more clues for us, I believe they will be here, in these sections. He grinned. Like that marvellous quotation describing the pink and private parts of the goddess. Is that what you were referring to? Trust you not to forget that. She flushed lightly and refused to look up from her notebook. Look at this quotation from the head of the third face of the stele, the side Taita has headed Autumn. It's the very first one that caught my attention. Nicholas leaned forward and read the hieroglyphics aloud. The great god Osiris makes the opening coo with deference to the protocol of the four bulls. At the first pylon he bears full testimony to the immutable law of the board. He looked up at her. Yes, I remember that quotation. Taita is referring to Bear, the game that the old devil loved so passionately. Yes, that's right. Royan looked slightly embarrassed. But do you also remember that I told you about a dream that I had in which I saw Duryad again in one of the chambers of the tomb? I remember. He chuckled at her discomfort. He said something to you about the protocol of the four bulls. Now we're going into the realm of divination by dreams, are we? She looked annoyed by his levity. All I am suggesting is that my subconscious had been digesting the quotation and come up with an answer, which it put into the mouth of Duryad in the dream. Can't you be serious just for one moment? Sorry, he was contrite. Remind me what you heard Duryad say. Well, in the dream he told me, remember the protocol of the four bulls. Start at the beginning. I'm no expert on the game of Bear. What did he mean? Well, the rules and subtleties of the game have been lost in the mists of antiquity, but as you know, we found examples of the Bear board amongst the grave goods in the tombs of the 11th to the 17th dynasties, and we can only guess that it was an early form of chess. She began to sketch for him on one of the blank pages at the back of her notebook. The wooden board was laid out like a chessboard, 8 rows of cups wide and 8 rows deep, like this. She drew it in with quick, deft strokes of her ballpoint pen. The pieces were coloured stones that moved in a prescribed fashion. I won't go into all the details, but the protocol of the fourth bulls was an opening gambit in the game favoured by grandmasters of Taita's calibre. It consisted of making sacrifices to mass the highest-ranking stones in the first cup from where they could dominate the important central files of the board. I'm not sure where we're going, but lead on. I'm listening. Nicholas tried not to look too mystified. The first cup of the board. She indicated it on her sketch, as though instructing a backward child. The beginning. Duryad said, start at the beginning. Taita said, the great god Osiris makes the opening coup. I still don't follow you, Nicholas shook his head. Oh, come with me. Carrying the notebooks, she led him through the hatch in the white plaster doorway and stood beside him at the shrine of Osiris. The opening coup, the beginning. She turned and faced down the gallery. This is the first shrine. How many shrines are there altogether? 3 for the Trinity, then Set, Tot, Anubis, Hathor, and Ra, he listed. 8 altogether. Glory be! She laughed. The lad can count. How many cups in the files of the Bear board? 8 across and 8 down. He broke off and stared at her. You think? She did not answer. but opened the notebook. All of these numbers and extraneous symbols, they spell no coherent words. They do not relate to each other in any way, except that no number in the list is greater than 8. I thought I'd caught up with you, but I just lost you again. If somebody were to read the notations of a game of chess 4,000 years from now, what would he make of it? She asked. Wouldn't it just be lists of numbers and extraneous symbols to him? You really are being extremely dense, aren't you? This is like pulling teeth. Oh, lordy, lordy! His face cleared. You clever lady! Taita is playing the game of Bayo with us! Yes, and this is the first pylon where it starts, she gestured to the shrine. This is where the great god Osiris makes the opening coup. This is where we must start at the beginning of the sacred Bayo board. This is where we counter his opening move. They both looked around the shrine for a while, studying the curved walls and the high-domed roof. And then Nicholas broke the silence. At the risk of being called extremely dense, and having my teeth pulled, may I ask a question? How the hell do we play a game when we don't even know the rules? Colonel Nogo exuded confidence and self-importance as he swaggered into the conference room to answer von Schiller's summons. Nahut Gudabi bustled along behind him, determined not to be excluded from any of the proceedings. He, too, tried to look confident and important, but in truth he felt his position was very insecure and that he needed to justify himself to his master. Von Schiller was dictating correspondence to Uta Kemper, but as soon as they entered the room he stood up quickly and stepped onto the carpeted block. "You promised that you would have a report for me yesterday," he snapped at Nogo, ignoring Nahut. "Have you not heard anything from this informer of yours in the gorge?" "I apologize for keeping you waiting like this, Herr von Schiller." Nogo was immediately deflated by this sharp attack, and he became restless and uneasy. The German frightened him. "The women were a day late returning from Harper's camp. They are very unreliable, these country people. Time means very little to them." "Yes, yes, yes," von Schiller was impatient. "I know the failings of your black brethren, and I might add you are not completely innocent of these yourself, Nogo. But tell me what news you have for me." "Harper finished work on the dam 7 days ago, and immediately he moved his camp downstream to a new place on the hills above the ravine. He then built some sort of bamboo ladder down into the ravine. My informer tells me that they are clearing a hole at the bottom of the empty pool." "A hole? What kind of hole?" Von Schiller turned pale as he listened and began sweating in a light sheen across his forehead. "Are you all right, Herr von Schiller?" Nogo was alarmed. The German looked very ill, as if he were about to collapse. "I am perfectly well," von Schiller shouted at him. "What hole was this? Describe it to me." "The woman bringing the message is a stupid peasant." Nogo was uncomfortable, squirming under von Schiller's grilling. "She says only that when the river water fell, there was a hole in the bottom that was filled with rock and rubbish, and that they have cleared this out." "A tunnel!" Nahut could contain himself no longer. "It must be the entrance tunnel to the tomb." "Be quiet!" von Schiller turned on him furiously. "You have no facts to back up this supposition. Let Nogo finish!" He turned back to the colonel. "Go on. Give me the rest of it." "The woman says that there is a cave at the end of the hole, like a rock shrine, with pictures on the walls."
"Pictures? What pictures?"
"The woman said there were pictures of the saints." Nogo made a deprecating gesture. "She is a very uneducated woman. Stupid."
"Christian saints?"
von Schiller demanded. Nahut interjected. "That is not possible, Herr von Schiller. I tell you that Harper has discovered the tomb of Memos. You must act swiftly now."
"I will not warn you again, you miserable little man!"
von Schiller snarled at him.
"Keep quiet!"
He turned back to Nogo.
"Was there anything else in the cavern? Tell me everything that the woman said."
"Pictures and statues of the saints." Nogo spread his hands. "I am sorry, Herr von Schiller. That is what she said. I know this is all nonsense, but that is what the woman told me."
I will judge what it is and what it is not, von Schiller told him. What did she say happened to these statues of the saints?
Harper has packed them into boxes.
Has he removed them from the shrine?
I do not know, Herr von Schiller. The woman did not say. Von Schiller stepped down from his block. He began to pace up and down the length of the hut, muttering to himself distractedly.
Herr von Schiller,
Nahut began. But the German waved him to silence. At last he stopped in front of Nogo and stared up at him.
Did they find a mummy? A body in the shrine?
He demanded. I do not know, Herr von Schiller. The woman did not say.
Where is she?
Von Schiller was so agitated that he clutched the front of Nogo's uniform jacket and stood on tiptoe to thrust his face up close to his.
Where is this woman? Have you let her go?
Tiny droplets of spittle flew into Nogo's face, and he blinked and tried to duck. But von Schiller had him in a death grip.
No, sir, she is still here.
I did not want to bring her to you.
You fool! Are you telling me all of this is second-hand? Bring her here immediately. I want to question her face to face.
He shoved Nogo away from him.
Go and fetch her!
Nogo returned minutes later, dragging the woman into the room by one arm. She was young, and despite the blue tattoos across her cheeks and chin, she was pretty. She wore the long black robes and head covering of a married woman and carried an infant on her hip. As soon as Nogo released her arm, she sank to the floor and whimpered with terror. The child she carried whined in sympathy. Its nostrils were plugged with white crusts of dried snot. The woman opened the top of her robe with a shaking hand, fished out one of her milk-swollen breasts, and thrust the nipple into the child's mouth. Infant and mother stared at von Schiller with terrified eyes.
"Ask her if there was a coffin or a body of the saint in the shrine,"
von Schiller ordered, eyeing the woman with distaste. Nogo questioned her for a minute and then shook his head.
"She does not know anything about a body. She is very stupid. She does not understand very well." "Ask her about the statues of the saints. What has Harper done with them? Where are they now? Has he removed them from the shrine?"
After another long exchange with the woman, Nogo shook his head.
"No. She says that the statues are still in the shrine. The white man has packed them into boxes and the soldiers are guarding them." "Soldiers? What soldiers?"
"Soldiers of Mecklenburg, the Schufter commander that I told you about. He is still with Harper."
"How many boxes are there?"
In his impatience, von Schiller went up to where the woman sat and prodded her with the toe of his boot.
"How many statues are there?"
The woman wailed with terror and shrank away from him. Von Schiller recoiled from her at the same time with an expression of disgust.
"Gott in Himmel!"
He pulled a handkerchief from his pocket and patted his mouth and nose with it.
"She stinks like an animal. Ask her how many boxes."
"Not many," Nogo translated.
"Perhaps 5. No more than 10. She is not sure." "What size? How big are they?"
When Nogo put the question to her, the woman indicated the length of her arm. Von Schiller's disappointment registered clearly in his face.
"So few pieces? And so insignificant?"
He turned away from the woman and went to stare out of the south-facing window of the hut, down over the escarpment rim into the wilderness of the gorge.
"If what this creature says is true, then Harper has not yet discovered the treasure of Mamos. There should be more, much more."
Nogo was talking rapidly to the woman again. And now he turned back to von Schiller.
"She says that one of Harper's party has left the camp in the gorge and gone to Deborah Mariam."
Von Schiller spun away from the window and stared at him.
"One of his party? Who? Which one?"
"She is an Ethiopian woman, the concubine of Mecklenburg. A woman she calls Waizero Tese. I know of her. She was married to the Russian hunter before she became Mecklenburg's whore."